universal deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome to Real News on this Monday, September 25th, 2017. I'm David Knight. And the news, of course, all over the weekend has been this back and forth about Trump and the NFL. The NFL owners say he's disrespecting us. Do they not realize what they are disrespecting? Why this double standard? We're going to take a look at that in detail as to what's going on. And, of course, we're going to review a report that I had 4 years ago talking about why we should boycott the NFL. It was about crony capitalism on steroids. It was about pushing the agenda of the Patriot Act and the slave training security theater that we see the NFL taking the lead on. Of course, they've also been on the lead on many issues of political correctness. They've shut down commercials that had to do with the Second Amendment and firearms and taking responsibility for protecting your family. So they've been on the forefront of social change. And we're going to look at what kind of social change they're trying to do. And of course, not all NFL owners are standing with it. And of course, many people in other sports are not. NASCAR took the lead and said, we are not going to let anybody do this. And they didn't. That's a sport for you right there. It's a lot faster moving than football. And they don't stop unless somebody dies. So you just keep that in mind. If you're looking for a spectator sport to take up, if you're going to be leaving the NFL, I'd suggest NASCAR. But we're going to take a look at what's happened in Germany over the weekend, what that tells us about the state of people waking up in Europe to what's going on there. We're going to put that in context. We're also going to put the election tomorrow in context. We're going to take a look at Judge Roy Moore versus Senator Luther Strange. What do their backgrounds tell us? And of course, I think it was a masterstroke of President Trump. I think he realized that he had gotten roped into supporting Luther Strange, a guy who is A, a loser, and B, has significant ethical issues, a true swamp thing. And he goes down there and he does this 25-minute rambling endorsement as to, well, this is why I would do it. This, and then at the end of it, he says, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it really doesn't matter. You know what? I'll support either one of these guys in the general election that's going to be coming up in December against the Democrats. And then he goes into the NFL situation, a masterstroke. Because he takes an issue that has really been under the skin of the American public. And then it all becomes about that. Nobody is talking about President Trump and Luther Strange. But we need to talk about that event. Of course, there's a lot of people that are there to support Roy Moore today. We have Bannon. We have Sarah Palin have gone down there. We've had endorsements from Louis Gohmert and others. One of the conservative candidates, Mo Brooke, who was in the primaries that didn't make it to the runoff, endorsed Roy Moore. And we've got Nigel Farage coming in to endorse Roy Moore. What does that tell you? It should tell you something about where the man is, but we're going to define that a great deal more. And we're also going to take a look at this Tennessee shooting that happened. This is yet another example in a church of why you need to protect yourself. I did a report a few years ago. Maybe we'll play it later in the program. It was with a guy in South Africa. It was in the 90s when they were having the Marxists that were under Mandela. When they were doing a reign of terror, they went into a church. They started throwing grenades. They had AK-47s. And they said afterwards, when they went through the Truth and Reconciliation, after all the war was over and they granted amnesty to everybody, these guys said, we chose that church of 1,000 people because we knew that they were very liberal and nobody there would be armed. Well, it just turns out that one guy was visiting that day. He was a Christian missionary, and he had a pistol because he had gone through this whole thing in his mind. He says, is this really something that I should be doing? Should I, as a Christian, be carrying firearms? He thought about it, and he said, yes, I need to protect innocent lives. And on that day, with 5 bullets, he turned away those guys with AK-47s that had been throwing grenades in there. They killed a lot of people when they threw those grenades in there initially, but he saved a lot of lives with just 5 bullets, taking responsibility for that. We saw something like that yesterday in the Tennessee church shooting. It was a guy who had the ability to carry that ultimately shut that event down. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. This is Real News.
from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome to Real News on September 25th, 2017. I'm David Knight. An interesting case of the First Amendment, isn't it? As President Trump made a speech Friday in Alabama talking about the NFL, the NFL commissioner said he's disrespected the NFL. He said he's made divisive comments and an unfortunate lack of respect for the NFL. Well, it's interesting because, you know, they have their First Amendment where they can get out there and they can disrespect the flag. They can disrespect the country. They can disrespect veterans. But don't you dare disrespect this club of millionaires playing in a stadium owned by a billionaire that is paid for by taxpayers. No, how dare you disrespect those people? How dare you disrespect them? Let's play what President Trump said at the rally that got everybody so upset this weekend. Here's President Trump.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
Yeah, I think they would like to see that. I think we would like to see it. And of course, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, has basically said that. We'll get into that later. But yeah, that's basically what a lot of people have been saying for quite some time. And so let's take a look at what is behind this. Does the president have a right to protest the NFL? Or does it only that the NFL has a right to protest our country? And I understand what the protest is about. This is about Black Lives Matter. And it's about police brutality, they say. But understand that Black Lives Matter is the essence of dividing the country. It creates racism. It creates hatred. It does not solve the problem. It doesn't solve the problem any more than burning down your neighbor's local business because you're upset about what the police officer did to somebody with excessive force. That doesn't solve the problem of excessive force. That doesn't reform the police department. That doesn't get that guy punished. And when you make it about race, it means that you're not going to solve the problem. That's why they made it about race. That's why Soros and Black Lives Matter made it about race, because they don't want the problem solved. They want that constant irritation. In the same way that the GOP won't solve Obamacare, because they want that wedge issue to continue to go on. So they won't fix it. They won't repeal it. They won't give us market reforms. And of course, these guys don't want to have anything done about reforming the police or prosecuting an individual when they use excessive force. You have to purge the bad individuals out of any organization, or that organization owns it. And now the NFL is owning Black Lives Matter. The people who got there and preach hate, the people who have encouraged, and we're going to show you this. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and show this picture of the guy who shot up the church yesterday. And that's being investigated as a civil rights violation in Tennessee, just outside Nashville. Went into a church there. And if you look at the Facebook page, take a look at it. I got it tweeted out on Libertarian, my Twitter account. If you go to that guy's Facebook page, looks to me like he's showing a picture of himself kneeling there. Zoom in on that at the top there, and you can see him kneeling. Emmanuel K. Sampson. And he tweeted out, become the creator instead of what's created. Whatever you say goes, and so forth. So I don't know what this man's issues are, but it certainly looks like he's embracing this kneeling protest in favor of Black Lives Matter. He has a picture of himself there working out. He's I don't know if he's an athlete or whatever, if he's a wannabe NFLer. That's why he's kneeling there. But understand that it's this kind of irrational hatred, this kind of racism, this kind of violence that targets people because of their race, targets them because they're a police officer. So they got an issue with another police officer. They don't want to wait for it to go through the system. They don't want to reform the system. Instead, they're going to go out and attack some police officers who had nothing to do with it. Maybe across the country in a different town, they're going to shoot police officers. That's the mentality of Black Lives Matter. That's the mentality of Colin Kaepernick. And I see the Washington Post out there saying, well, he's kneeling and so did Tim Tebow and they're both Christians. No, 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 no. There's a world of difference between what Colin Kaepernick did and what Tim Tebow did. Understand, Colin Kaepernick is kneeling in protest. Tebow kneeled in praise. He kneeled in praise. And one of them was drummed out of the NFL. Which one would that be? The guy who's praising God. They can't stand that. They got to get him out of there. But the guy who is protesting the government, the guy who is feeding hatred and racism. No, no, no. He's their hero. He's their hero. And don't you dare, even if you're president of the United States, criticize the guy that foments hatred and racism with Black Lives Matter. Don't you dare even think about criticizing him. And so we have the NFL responding. They say, these are the headlines we get from Washington Post, just praising it. The NFL is embracing its diversity. Embracing it. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see if the Steelers really do embrace their diversity when it comes to one guy who stood against the herd. And we're going to get to him in a minute. But when you look at the way the press is reporting this, take a look at this picture from NPR. They've got a shot going down the line of the New England Patriots. And everybody in that line, they show kneeling. And they say, look at this. All these guys are responding in solidarity. And they, what they did not show you is that the team that the Patriots were playing, the Houston Texans, nobody kneeled. That's the same game, folks. So in the same game, you got two different teams. One team, nobody kneels. And the other one, the Patriots, several of them kneel. And so they get the camera right there on the ones who are kneeling. And there's some who are standing, but they're way down in the background. They don't really focus on them. Then you got all the news outlets like the AP talking about how we had more than 200 NFL players that didn't do it. So it makes it sound like it's unanimous, right? Except there's about 1,700, 1,696 to be exact. There's 53 players on a team, 32 teams, so almost 1,700 players, and about 200 of them. Some of them say 150. So let's go with a higher number. If it's 150, that's 8.8%. If it's 200, that's 11.8%. Do you think there's 200 people out there who could play football, who would love to get paid millions of dollars, who don't hate this country? I think you probably could find them. I think you'd probably find some coaches out there who don't hate this country as well. Maybe you could find some team owners who don't hate this country. And they said last week there was only 6 NFL players who protested. Solidarity for their league, okay? It's a club and you ain't in it, folks. Solidarity for their league is more important to them than solidarity for this country. And I think the most egregious example of this was the one in England where you had the Ravens and the Jaguars playing an exhibition game. Well, it's not an exhibition game. It was a real regular season game. They were playing in Wembley Stadium in the UK. And the Ravens and the Jaguars kneeled. But then they stood for God Save the Queen. And they got a picture of the Jaguars owner, Shad Khan. I wonder if he's any relationship to Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London. But anyway, this is the way that it goes. Maybe we need to have a new group in the league. But of course, it's at the top where the whole thing has rotted. That's why you got the commissioner, Goodell, saying, he's disrespected us. How dare him disrespect the NFL? Doesn't he realize that we are the most important thing in America? No, quite frankly, you're not. You have disrespected the fans. Your protest, your free speech, you're welcome to it. And we're welcome to protest you. We're welcome to speak against you. And we're welcome not to spend our money on you. And they are plunging in popularity, even before President Trump took them on, as I reported last Friday. You had the game in California where, as they were reselling tickets, you know, they have a secondary market on tickets. Usually, they go for more money than they originally did. In this particular case, you could get a ticket for less than the cost of 2 hot dogs. And see the pictures of people there, how empty the stadium was. That's the state of things with the NFL. And we're going to tell you why you should boycott them when you come back. It's much deeper reason than this. But this is good enough. We'll take this reason. There's a lot of reasons to boycott these spoiled millionaires playing in the billionaires' stadium while you foot the bill. Have you had enough? I certainly have. I had enough 4 years ago. I'm going to play a video from 4 years when we come back. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. This is Real News. Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight. Let's continue on with what's going on with the NFL, because this is a deep topic, folks. This is something that's been going on for a long time. This is big, big business. It costs big taxes to support these billionaires and their millionaire teams. And I want you to look at how they responded to a little bit of criticism here. And I think it's justified criticism. They're out there. This whole protest thing is a criticism. And yet, if you criticize their criticism, you're the bad guy. You started it. You divided the country. No, the people who are dividing the country, who started dividing the country, people like George Soros and Black Lives Matter, dividing it along the lines of race and hate and misdirecting the anger about events instead of turning it in a positive way. They burn down their neighborhood. They burn down the businesses in their neighborhood. Or they shoot cops that had nothing to do with it. They don't fix the problem. They exacerbate it. That's why George Soros is doing this. In European countries, Soros has gone in, like other communists, like other revolutionaries, they have focused on economic divisions, on class division. Here in America, that didn't work too well for them. So they focus on race. And this is where the Weathermen came in, Bill Ayers and those people. They were the ones who started white skin privilege way back in the 60s. They focused on that. Those communist revolutionaries knew they were the way that they were going to start division, war, and burn down this country was going to be to start a race war. That's why they started all that stuff. And now that is integral into our in our school curriculum, because Bill Ayers stopped bombing buildings and he went into education. And you need to understand what is happening in this country in education. But let's get back to the result of this mental illness, the result of this Black Lives Matter hatred. Here we've got Terry Bradshaw. I want you to hear him because he's one of the Pittsburgh Kneelers, because the Kneelers, with the exception of one individual, came out in favor of this and protest the protest of Donald Trump. And here's what Terry Bradshaw had to say.
Probably like a lot of you, I was somewhat surprised that the president of the United States, came out attacking NFL players for them exercising the freedom of speech. While I don't condone the protest during our national anthem, this is America. If our country stands for anything, folks, what? It's freedom. People died for that freedom. I'm not sure if our president understands those rights. That every American has the right to speak out and also to protest.
I don't think
protest.
Terry Bradshaw
me,
understands
these
that.
These athletes do love this great country of ours. Personally,
they
I
have
think
a funny
a
way of showing it.
Should concentrate on serious issues like North Korea and health care rather than ripping into athletes and the NFL.
Well, it is a serious issue. It is not simply a side issue. Because in the larger context of things, we have Black Lives Matter, and we have the Antifa, which I would call them that, just because, you know, they are fascists, so we should call them Antifa, although you sound like JFK when you say that. But the Antifa are out there trying to burn this country down. They want to destroy everything associated with this country, whether it is the national anthem or the flag or a historical monument or a Christopher Columbus statue. Everything associated with American history, American culture, American legal system, they have to destroy that. And that's one of the things about Judge Roy Moore. He saw back in 2001 this whole thing about the Ten Commandments. A lot of us looked at it as like, oh, you know, why do you have to put up a monument to the Ten Commandments? He saw where this was headed. He saw that there was a movement to destroy the foundations of this country, because that's what all of this monument back and forth is about. And so he was at the forefront of that. He paid the price, and he has been supported time and again by the voters in Alabama. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But what Terry Bradshaw and the NFL doesn't understand is that the fans see them disrespecting the country. And just as I pointed out before, you got a problem with the police, solve the problem with the police. You don't burn down your neighbor's building. You don't give the finger to veterans, to Americans, and say, I hate your country. That's the way this is coming out. It's a bad protest. You shouldn't defend it. They have the freedom to do that. They have free speech. But so does the president. And when the president reflects what many Americans believe, that this is disrespecting our country, disrespecting our veterans on many different levels, it is yet again another example of how Black Lives Matter focuses people on things that will divide us, focuses people on race, focuses people on hate, rather than focusing on the problem and solving that problem. So then that's Terry Bradshaw of the former Pittsburgh Kneelers. And I call them the Kneelers because their head coach, Mike Tomlin, said that they were not going to participate in the national anthem. They would have the entire team set that out. And yet there was one guy who wouldn't do that. Why wouldn't he? Well, because he was a veteran. He was a guy who played at West Point, played on the football team there. Then he served as an Army Ranger. And then he got into the NFL. And when they said, what the coach said is, whatever we do, we're going to do 100%. We're going to do it together. We're not going to let divisive times or divisive individuals affect our agenda. Well, this particular individual wasn't going to be dictated to. He had a mind of his own. His name is Villanova. And I want to play you a clip, an interview. Let's play the interview, clip number 3. Let you know who this guy is, because it's very important that you see the one individual who walked out of the locker room, who stood in the tunnel with respect, and the crowd applauded him. And then they booed the Steelers when they came out. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, the Pittsburgh Kneelers were 2-0 when they came into this game. They were playing another team, the Bears, who were 0-2. And guess what? The Kneelers lost. Here's that individual, Villanova, an interview that he had a couple of years ago.
Villanova has been busy.
What made you interested in joining the Army? You turn on the news and you watch, you know, young 18, 19-year-old soldiers that are doing great things, and they're doing something that the men have been doing for centuries. I just couldn't stand by the sidelines and watch other people do the work.
After he graduated, Villanueva led a platoon in Afghanistan, where in 3 tours, he earned numerous commendations, including a Bronze Star for Valor. As an Army Ranger, he can't talk about all of his experiences, but he says one of his first firefights was almost his last.
I made a pretty tough call one day. There was a very long, dried riverbed that had pretty high ground on both sides, and we were waiting for an insurgent to return to his house. But as soon as we got probably 25 to 30 feet into this walk, all hell broke loose, and then we started receiving fire from 360, wow. All around us. Turn around, run as hard as I could, back to cover.
Now all the 25-year-old worries about is running down quarterbacks as a defensive end. That is, if he ultimately makes the team.
So how do you feel about your chances? Pretty tough. I mean, I haven't played football in a long time. I'm just taking a shot. Just so when I'm 80, you know, and I'm looking back at life, I don't say there was a chance that I could have, you know, made a team in the NFL and then play at the highest level.
Villanueva says any comparisons to Pat Tillman, the NFL player who joined the Army and was killed by friendly fire, are unfair.
Pat Tillman was someone who had all the glory and was already at the highest level in the NFL, and then he stepped down. That's sacrifice. I'm not a hero. I'm just somebody who decided to do what I love to do, and I got a lot out of it. So I think the Army has given me more than I've been able to give the Army.
There you go. That's a hardworking guy, a modest guy. But he stands for his principle. He stood yesterday against his coach's orders. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Waging war on corruption. It's David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I want to finish up with what's going on in the NFL because, folks, this is about more than a petty spat between the NFL, the commissioner, and Donald Trump. This is about the foundations of this country. And if we don't wake up to the fact that we have George Soros, Black Lives Matter, the Antifa coming out and trying to take this country down, trying to destroy symbols, trying to make us ashamed of our country. That's the key thing. Making us ashamed of America, ashamed of our history, our culture, our legal system, everything. Ashamed to be Americans. If they can shame us into being Americans, this country is finished. And we're not going to allow that to happen. And so that's at the essence of this. This is why this is an important issue. Yes, he did it at a speech where he did not want to be endorsing Luther Strange. And I think that was an appropriate time for him to start talking about this. It's a great way to take that subject off the table. We are going to talk about this election tomorrow between Luther Strange and Judge Roy Moore, because that also goes back to this same issue. Donald Trump didn't make that connection. I'm going to make that connection, so stay with us. Before we go further, I want to talk to you about some of the products that we sell here. You know, there's an interesting headline talking about the water. And we've got one of our products that's on sale now. Of course, it was the first thing, I think, that Alex sold was water filters, because it's very important. We understand how groundwater can get contaminated. We understand how they are deliberately contaminating the city water supplies. But there was an article that came out from Bloomberg talking about how large water bottling companies choose their plant locations not based on whether it's pristine drinking water. No, it's not based on that. It's based on which economically depressed municipalities they can bully into offering up the most tax breaks and the ones that have the most lax water laws. Yes, as Zero Hedge points out, Nestle is making billions selling you groundwater in a bottle. They point out that some of these sweetheart deals, even in California where they have a drought, Bloomberg pointed out that Nestle was able to strike a deal with the U.S. Forest Service. You want to talk about crony capitalism? Because that's a big part of the NFL situation. I'm going to play that report for you in a little while here. But it's also about crony capitalism when it comes to our drinking water. They were able to get from the U.S. Forest Service water for about 1/1,000,000th of a cent in each bottle that they sell you. So they buy the water for 1/1,000,000th of a cent. So they can sell a million of these before they pay a penny to the U.S. Forestry Service. And then how much are you paying? In many cases, you'll pay more for water than you do even for the garbage soda that's out there. But they gave some examples. They said they'll go into economically depressed areas. They'll promise jobs. They'll promise new infrastructure. And they say, give us a tax break. How many times have we seen that? Okay, we see that with Tesla. We see it with Apple. Apple was paid $2 million for every job that they created in their last sweetheart deal. $2 million for every job. That's the essence of crony capitalism. And so you as an individual, you as a small business, you have to pay the taxes to support this crony capitalism because, you know, we have to worship the big businesses that can only create jobs if you give them $2 million subsidy per job, like Apple. Whereas you got the small businesses, they go out there, they create jobs because they scrape together the stuff and they start from scratch. And they're really the ones who are creating the most jobs, quite frankly. And they're doing it without a $2 million subsidy. But going back into the water issue, say Nestle pays little for the product that it bottles, sometimes a municipal rate because they're getting it from the municipal water supply. Other times, just a nominal extraction fee. In Michigan, they only pay $200. They said in San Bernardino, California, Nestle has long paid the U.S. Forest Service an annual rate of $524 to extract about 30 million gallons, even during droughts. So that's how crony capitalism works out for you. But it also means that they're grabbing, as we've seen, if you read the label, one of the popular grocery stores here in Texas, they're repackaging municipal water from San Antonio and Houston. And if you read the label, it's like, no, no thanks, do not want. And so you don't have to get groundwater and pay big bucks for it. You don't have to get water that's been stored in plastic bottles that are not that have their own chemical issues. Instead, you can get a filter. We have one on sale right now, our largest one, ProPure King water filter. It's enough to filter water for a family or for an office. It is gravity feed, so you don't need to have electricity. And it gets out 99.9% of organic and inorganic contaminants. It filters out bacteria. Many other things. It's now 30% off. 30% off for the ProPure King water filter. Cut the line between you and these people that are buying the water and taking it out of these different areas for 1/1,000,000th of a cent and then selling it to you for a dollar a bottle or more. That's one way to save money, and it's one way to support us and to not support these crony capitalists who are taking advantage of the system. We have many other specials, too. We have InfoWars Select Storable Food, 50% off with the code READY. Also, Super Blue Toothpaste and Mouthwash, 50% off. Caveman True Paleo Formula, that's bone broth, chaga mushroom, bee pollen, many other great ingredients in there, especially if you're working on some kind of a paleo diet or workout. Caveman True Paleo Formula in either chocolate or strawberry, 50% off. And, of course, you can get 20% off InfoWars Patriot Blend or Immune Support Blend at checkout when you enter the code WAKEUP. That's 20% off InfoWars Immune Support Blend or Patriot Blend of coffee when you enter the code WAKEUP at checkout. Let's get back to the NFL. And we're not going to have time to play too much on this, but I want to go back to the individual who stood up, Alejandro Villanueva. And this is a guy who was an Army Ranger. You just heard that clip in the last segment. What a modest guy he was. When they said, well, gee, compare you to Pat Tillman, and he said, no, this is a guy who left at the pinnacle of his career to go fight. And, of course, Pat Tillman woke up, and that's a whole other story about what happened with his death. But let's just focus on this guy who stood there and stood against his coach, stood against the team because of his conscience. Will he be fired? Because, you know, we see people who do not toe the line in the group. And, of course, we're going to be talking later in the program to Julianne Davis, who is somebody who worked in Hollywood. And she talked about how, hey, you're ostracized in Hollywood if you don't follow the group think. And so over and over again, especially on the left, sometimes it's on the right, but predominantly it is on the left that people are ostracized and ejected from a profession because they do not toe the politically correct line. So let's play a little bit. There's if you're watching this, you're seeing the clips of that game yesterday. And of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, all of them except for one guy, went in there. And he's a huge guy, too. He's like 6'9". I tell you, I back at the university where I met my wife, University of Tampa, there you go. That's the ceremony there. You can see him standing by himself, 6'9". And at the University of Tampa, they had a football program at the time I was there. And they had a football player, John Matuszak, who was there. He actually was the first draft pick when he went professional. And it was a tiny school. It's only 2,000 people in the entire school. They were ranked number one in the nation, mainly because of people like John Matuszak. But they had several good players. They had some coaches that left and went to big AA schools or AAA, whatever it is. I'm not that big into football, but I was in the marching band with my wife. Actually, she was a dancer. But I was standing on the sidelines, and I was standing next to John Matuszak, and he is an inch shorter than this guy, Villanueva. When he was suited up in pads, I mean, he was gigantic on campus, but when he was suited up in pads, and he was the same size as this guy, essentially, he was 1 inch shorter than Villanueva, and he was 3 pounds heavier. And it was unbelievable. I've never stood next to anybody like that massive with those gigantic shoulder pads, 6'8", and Villanueva is 6'9". Absolutely impressive. But tell you what, this guy is towering over his team. He is towering over his coach morally. I really respect somebody who stands up for their principles, and I hope they don't nail him down. Stay with us. We're going to finish up, and we're going to tell you what some of the other sports and some of the other owners are doing. We'll be right back. In a positive way. Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight. I'm going to finish up on the NFL issue, and I want to play you a report I did 4 years ago, and understand that it's not everybody in the NFL that's doing this. We had the Houston Texans, to a man, stand in respect yesterday. We've had the Dallas Cowboys owner going back into July of this year. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, told his players, "You will stand for the national anthem or your butt will be off this team." To put it politely, as the Dallas Cowboys began training camp, he told him he wants to make one thing very clear before the 2017 NFL season begins. If any of his players want to take a knee during the national anthem, don't expect them to be on the roster much longer. That's precisely what President Trump said. But that is not what the NFL commissioner and the vast amount of the people who are team owners, they are selling a social agenda for the most part. But not the Texas teams. Texas teams stood. We also had a year ago, as this was all starting with Colin Kaepernick. He had the USA coach of the hockey team, had a lot of NHL players there. His name was John Tortorella, I believe is the way you pronounce his name. He said, if any of my players sit on the bench for the national anthem, they will sit there for the rest of the game. That was a year ago. That was September, beginning of September 2016. And, of course, we've also got NASCAR. You can always count on NASCAR to fly the flag. And they are taking a firm stand to back this. They've got all the NASCAR owners again, especially team owner Richard Petty. He said, anybody that don't stand up for what ought to be out of the country, period, he said. If they don't appreciate where they're at, what got them where they're at? The United States. And that's basically the sentiment of NASCAR. And, you know, if you're looking for something, it's a much faster moving game than football. But, you know, if it was played like football, they would take one lap around and they would stop at a stoplight for a minute. And then they'd take another lap around. And every time they'd stop at the stoplight, you'd have the commentators talking about that last lap on and on and on. Not a big football fan myself, quite frankly. So, yeah, that's a fast moving game. They don't stop it unless somebody dies. But I want to go back to the boycott issue. I want to go to the crony capitalism issue, because you understand, as they're doing this, and a lot of people feel that's very disrespectful to veterans, not just to this country. It's misdirected protest, quite frankly, just like burning down businesses and neighborhoods is a misdirected protest, just like shooting innocent policemen is a misdirected protest. But understand that the military has been paying pro sports teams, and this is a two-year-old story, $10.5 million. To do patriotic displays and troop tributes. So on the one hand, they get paid subsidies when they do this, but then they disrespect it at the same time. Maybe that ought to be cut. Maybe President Trump ought to cut the money, $10.5 million that the military is paying for these patriotic displays when they get up there and protest the flag. That's the next thing that ought to happen, President Trump. Cut that money from the Department of Defense for these people who are anti-American, who are dividing this country with hate and with racism for Black Lives Matter. But I want to play this video that I did a couple of years ago, actually 4 years ago, talking about the crony capitalist issues, just like I was talking about the crony capitalism with Nestle and water. Here's that video from 4 years ago. Is the NFL guilty of unsportsmanlike conduct? Americans love to watch football, but there's another game being played behind the scenes. 32 of America's richest men and families are getting massive tax breaks and tax subsidies. Billions of dollars of state and local taxes to build their stadiums. In many cases, millions of dollars paid directly to an owner or to a league called incentives to literally bribe the league or the owner to stay. Here's some NFL statistics you don't usually hear. In Cincinnati, taxpayers will provide 94% of the $450 million for the stadium. And Cincinnati taxpayers will also be paying for future projects like ticketless entry systems and holographic replay machines. The Indianapolis Colts get $620 million from taxpayers. Green Bay Packers, $160 million. Kansas City Chiefs, $250 million. Dallas Cowboys, $325 million. Many of the owners are multi-billionaires, but that doesn't stop them from demanding hundreds of millions of dollars from taxpayers to fund their business. Stephen Ross has a $4.8 billion net worth, according to Forbes. He demanded $380 million from Miami taxpayers. And when rebuffed, he threatened to leave and started a political action committee to get his government funds. Arthur Blank, with $1.7 billion net worth, was more successful in Atlanta. He got $200 million in taxes to build a new stadium, even though the old one is only 21 years old. Of course, when you include interest on the bonds, the total bill to taxpayers will be $450 million. It appears that once you become a billionaire sports team owner, you can go on public welfare. We complain about individuals who milk the welfare system. How about billionaires who get hundreds of millions of dollars? Minnesota had a $1.1 billion deficit, but they still took on another $506 million in debt for the Vikings, a 50% increase in state debt. The for-profit franchises are getting hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money for their billionaire owners, and the NFL itself is organized as a nonprofit trade association, saving them about $11 million in taxes each year, while the NFL's net income is about $20 million. But it's not just taxpayers getting fleeced by billionaires and fans getting their pockets picked for expensive tickets and licensed merchandise. The League of Billionaires is the eager partner of the federal government in the social engineering of a police state, partnering with the TSA to commit personal fouls, encroachment, blocking below the waist, and illegal forward passes, all committed against their loyal fans, helpless spectators and passive couch potatoes, mesmerized by spectacle while they're being robbed of their money and their rights by 32 of the wealthiest families in America. And now they've banned a wholesome, tasteful ad by Daniel Defense, precisely because it tries to get men out of their passive stupor and take their rightful role as family protector. Stand up to these billionaires who are robbing you of both your money and your rights.
Okay, so that was 4 years ago. That was a report that I did. And, of course, we're replacing our football stadiums, our professional football stadiums, more frequently than we do our nuclear power plants. Nuclear power plants are 20 years old. They just say, well, all right, we'll just extend it another 20 years. And when you look at what they did in Houston, spending $70 million on a high school stadium instead of doing flood repairs that would have helped them in that tragedy. And the other part of this is that they are fomenting, as I pointed out, not only hatred and racism, but violence. When we look at this Tennessee church shooting, look at the Facebook page of the man who carried that out. And there he is, taking a knee at the top of the page. That is what is ultimately this is all about. It's absolutely amazing to me that we just continue to go down this path. All right, let's talk about something a little bit different here. We're going to get to Judge Roy Moore, but we're going to wait until after the top of the hour when we get a little bit more time. One of the things that I thought was amazing, we talked a great deal about the hurricane and what happened there, but here's one of the aftermaths of the hurricane. This is reported from the anti-media. They said Florida residents were warned that they'll be ticketed for hurricane-damaged homes because the government is always there to help you, remember? What Ronald Reagan said, the most feared words in the English language, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. This is a guy, his name is Kelso Perez. He told WSVN-TV that he and his family and his neighbors were starting to clear fallen trees from the streets after the storm passed through about 9 in the morning on Monday. Hours later in the afternoon, Perez got a visit from the county. He says, and we thought he was here to help or something, to offer some kind of assistance with the trees. Maybe he was going to bring us some ice or something. But instead, he said, I thought he was kidding. He said, you're kidding, right? He said that they're going to slap him with a safety notice on the part of his fence that was still standing. So he's got trees that have collapsed and knocked down part of his fence. And this guy from the city shows up and says, we're going to fine you if you don't get that fixed. He says, I laughed. I thought he was kidding. He says, you're kidding, right? We just had a hurricane 6 hours ago. He says, no, I'm not kidding. I will have to cite you for this. I just laughed and said, okay, whatever. Knock yourself out. He says, at the time this officer was out here, we didn't have power. We didn't have food. We didn't have ice. But he's going around handing out citations because he's telling them, you got to get this fixed in a certain amount of time or we're going to start fining you. And I got to say, this is in Miami. I saw the same thing happening in Tampa. We had my family lived there for a number of years. They had some homes that were older homes. They sold to some people who did not have a lot of income. And my wife was down there trying to help them get things fixed up at the court where they would bring these people in for so-called violations. It was a little old lady, and she said somebody in the back of her house, they had an alley, they had dropped off a railroad tie, steel railroad tie. And she called the city and said, can you guys come and get this because I can't move it? And she's just a little old lady, and they came out. They took a look at it. And like this, the guy cited her and said, you got to get this off or we're going to start accumulating fines. It was something like $50 a day, $50 a day. And it wasn't going to take very long at that rate before they would confiscate her entire home. But that's what they wanted to do for their buddies who wanted to condemn entire areas of the city so they could put up skyscrapers for their crony capitalist friends. Same thing we're seeing in the NFL. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight, your host. We had an election yesterday. Angela Merkel has now been reelected. But the real story is how power has shifted under her feet. And that is a story
of an awakening in Europe. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next segment. Some of the other news that is breaking, we have Anthony Weiner now facing 2 years in jail. They say it's sentencing today for sexting a 15-year-old girl and persuading her to get naked for him on Skype. Now, this is something I reported on briefly last week when I started to talk about our pedophile schools. How is it that it is a problem for him doing this to a 15-year-old girl? Why is that the case? Why do we have age of consent? We have age of consent because we all know that children cannot make up their mind, that it is a very dangerous thing when you've got adults who have something that they want a child to do. They've got an agenda, or they've got some kind of a sexual abuse that they want to do to these kids, and they are very vulnerable. And so the question is, why do we allow this gender agenda to be taught in the schools? That's why I called it the pedophile schools. We've got teachers across the country that are pushing this transgender agenda to children at very, very young ages, earliest ages of elementary school. And I played the report last week. We'll probably play it for you again in this next hour of the people who went to a school board meeting after learning that one teacher had, there was a child whose parents were, and I would say ought to be, if anybody ought to be investigated by the government for child abuse, it would be the parents who are telling this child, no, you're a different gender, and we're going to have you. And so this kid said, well, I used to be a boy, now I'm a girl, or vice versa. I don't even know what it was. And so the teacher decided that they would start reading books to try to explain that you don't know what gender you're going to be, that it's fluid, that it might change. It got these kids very upset, because they're very young. They're very impressionable. You should not be talking to them about that. Certainly not that. And they have been doing this for a long time. Of course, there was a fight with people when they started this, just talking about heterosexual sex at a very young age to children. That's why we didn't have, before Rex Tillerson, we didn't have homosexual scout leaders and the Boy Scouts, because we wanted to try to minimize it. You can never stop all crime. You can never stop all abuse. All you can do is say, we're not going to have our Girl Scouts go out in the woods with a man who is going to be their supervisor, because we're afraid that something might happen. You might wind up with somebody like an Anthony Weiner out there. So we're not going to do that. We're going to have Girl Scouts with female leadership. We're going to have the Boy Scouts with male leadership. We're going to screen these people. But one of the ways that we're going to screen them is to make sure that they are not attracted sexually to these kids that they're taking out there. That's why they had heterosexual scout leaders. Rex Tillerson, the name of political correctness, and maybe he has some other agenda that's going on, decided that he would undo that, he would undo it first for the kids, then he would undo it for the adult leaders. That's what's behind all this, folks. When you want to talk about what's happening with the transgender stuff and the bathroom stuff, at first it sounds like it's really stupid and silly to many of us. But then you realize that what they're really after is to erase this idea of consent, the fact that children cannot consent to this. That is the insidious agenda behind all of this. There's also some other news. We have Democrats launching a $15 million campaign to send out an army of attorney generals to fight Trump on every step of the way. Now, this is not just the judges who are continually fighting him, but they want to get attorneys generals elected to fight him on all the issues, whether it is the border wall or the travel ban or whether it's environmental regulations or redistricting. That is the first thing up. We were told that Eric Holder was going to be working with Barack Obama after Obama left office to do just that. Over 1,000 offices were lost by the Democrats because of Obama's policies. They've decided that what they cannot win at the ballot box, they're going to win in the courtroom to try to take this back. That's what the redistricting fight is about. And they are funding, with $15 million, an army of lawyers to fight President Trump and his agenda. We'll be right back.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to Real Real News. I'm David Knight. Let's talk about what happened in Germany yesterday. And, of course, before we do, I see that Adolf Hitler's underpants have been sold for £5,000 at an auction in the U.S. And if you look at these underpants, you can tell that they were not the pants that he was wearing on D-Day at Normandy because they have no brown stains on them. So we aren't sure what day he wore these, but it wasn't that day. They have a right-wing party, they say, in NPR. A right-wing party makes a strong showing in German elections. And they're freaking out about the fact that these are economic nationalists who are opposed to the massive migration and the terrorism that has accompanied it into Germany. And so they want to call them right-wing. They want to call them Nazis. And yet, what we're seeing here is an awakening, even within Germany, the most liberal of all the countries in Europe, unless you take out, I guess maybe Sweden is more liberal than Germany even. Those people are just absolutely beyond any hope, the way they are self-loathing and suicidal. It's unbelievable. And, of course, the Germans have been shamed into this because of what happened with the Nazis, and they should be ashamed of that. But these people are not the Nazis anymore, just as Americans are not the people who own slaves anymore. And so they focus on one thing like that to make them be ashamed of being Germans to the extent that they want to commit suicide. But some of them have woken up. So the real story here is that even though she got 33% of the vote and came in first place, it was her worst showing of her party, the Christian Democratic Union Party, its worst showing since 1949. The second place party, which used to be the coalition partner with Merkel before, the Social Democrats, got only 20% of the vote, and it's their worst showing ever. And the interesting thing is that you've got a party that came out of nowhere and came in third place. They were saying, well, we think maybe it's going to get 8%. It got 13%, 13 or 14%. And these two parties, in terms of the number of seats that they have, both dropped about 21%, the number one and the number two party. So it appears to be coming out of their hide. As Yahoo points out, a weakened Merkel wins a fourth term, but is hit by a nationalist earthquake. I think that's a little bit more fair rather than just calling them right-wing or calling them Nazis, because they're not Nazis and they're not right-wing. One of the things that was taken exception to, and you had all the headlines saying that the alternative for Germany, the alternative for Deutschland, AfD party, was anti-Islam. And what he said was, he said, we're not anti-Muslim, but we are anti-Islam, because Islam is not simply a religion, but it is a political system that believes that religion and politics should be united. So he said, in that respect, it is incompatible with our German values, because they want to have a separation of church and state, or religion and state, if you will. And then there's this report from Sputnik. Welcome to Limbo Land. Europe's refugee population is so big that it could be a country. They point out that the refugee population has grown to such an extent that it dwarfs the combined citizenry of smaller member states. And about half of them remain in limbo, awaiting decisions on their asylum applications. They say the number of asylum seekers in limbo in the European Union is likely to have reached greater proportions than the combined populations of Cyprus and Malta. They say the effective limbo nation has risen from an influx of 2.2 million asylum seekers to the EU just in 2015 and 2016, of which 1.1 million remain uncertain whether they will ultimately receive sanctuary. These are the ones who came in as refugees. That's not the people who are just coming across in boats. And they have a very, very deep welfare state there. Will they be able to maintain that welfare state if they have open borders, if anybody in the world can come into their country? Of course they can't. We have the same issue here. That's why we have to understand that the real cause of this is not even the open borders. The real cause of this is the welfare state. That is the magnet that brings people in. And when you combine a welfare state with amnesty for people who come here illegally, flaunting any process that we would have to identify whether or not they should be here, or to have any say-so whatsoever in terms of how the population is going to increase, I mean, it's just a quantitative issue. It's not even a qualitative issue of whether or not we check to see if people are sick when they come into the country or to see if they are violent criminals. No, we're not allowed to do that anymore. We just let everybody into the country, and then they get free health care, they get free education, and we get a third world country. That's what the bargain is from the globalists. That's what they're selling everybody. So people are starting to wake up, even in Germany, the seat of the European Union, if you will, because what happened, everybody was concerned about Hitler taking over Europe. That's really what did happen with the European Union. It was started by a bunch of former Nazis. They held their first Bilderberg meeting where they talked about not only having a unified Europe, but the key thing about that was a unified currency. That's the way they got a unified Europe. They started by a unified trade zone, then they moved to a unified currency and a political unification. Then as the currency got into trouble, they said, we need more political unification. We need more people under the German rule, because they're really, even though the seat is in Brussels, it is really Merkel who is in control there. That's precisely what we do not want to see here in America. Let's talk about what's going on in Alabama, because tomorrow we have an election between two candidates. And I think it's an interesting contrast that has developed there. And of course, President Trump, because Mitch McConnell and the establishment were pushing him to do it, and the Senate GOP fund has spent millions for this guy, Luther Strange, to support him. So President Trump said, all right, I'll support the guy who's in office. I'll go down there. He spends the first 25 minutes of the speech on Friday with kind of a rambling, on the one hand, there's this guy, and then on the other hand, it's like this. And then he finishes at the end, he goes, so maybe I made a mistake coming down here to support Luther Strange. And as the Washington Post points out, when he was taking the stage and putting on a MAGA hat, some guy said, I don't like this guy. I just came to hear Trump. Another person in the audience right next to the Washington Post reporter shouted, you suck. When he started to, and that person was wearing a MAGA hat. So they understand there's a difference between their support of President Trump and Luther Strange. And they even had to move it to a smaller venue because so many people don't like Luther Strange. Why don't they like Luther Strange? I think it's a very interesting study in what is wrong with the GOP establishment. In March of 2016, the former governor of Alabama, Republican governor Robert Bentley, fired the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency Secretary Spencer Collins. He said he had misused state funds. Now, what they found out when they investigated this with an independent state audit, they found that there was no problem with money at all. So then the question is, well, why did the governor fire this guy? Well, they found that he alleged that the governor had engaged in an extramarital affair with his senior political advisor. He stated in a press conference the following day that he had seen sexually charged texts between the two. He had heard audio recording conversations between the two. It appears that that's why he was driven out. Then they had the state auditor of Alabama, Jim Ziegler, filed an ethics complaint against the governor for allegedly using state property in the course of his relationship with this woman. Then in March 30th, this has all happened within a week, she resigned, stating she would no longer serve as governor's senior political analyst. Now, Luther Strange, the guy that governor appointed, Luther Strange was the attorney general. He wasn't doing much of an investigation of this governor because that was in March, and he didn't get appointed to replace Senator Sessions until Senator Sessions left as senator. So for about 9 months, Luther Strange did nothing to come after Robert Bentley, the governor. However, the state legislature did. They started passing an impeachment resolution. They didn't even have a process in their constitution defined for impeachment, so they started doing that. They set up multiple felony charges, things that Luther Strange would not bring to light. They started up multiple felony charges against the governor. And so to keep from being impeached, to keep from getting convicted of these felony charges, he pleads to a lesser charge of some misdemeanors, and he gets off. But he had already appointed Luther Strange. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about Judge Roy Moore. It is an interesting study in contrasts. I'm David Knight. This is Real News. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real News.
I'm David Knight, and I want to get back into this contrast between these two candidates in the special election for the Republican primary tomorrow. They've already have a Democrat, and there's going to be a general election in December, but largely the election is going to turn most likely on whoever the GOP candidate is. This is Alabama, and they have consistently voted for Republicans there for quite some time, so it'd be a really big upset for the Democrat to defeat either of these candidates. But the GOP establishment has spent millions of dollars to attack Roy Moore. So that might happen if Roy Moore wins. He's quite a bit ahead. He's still quite a bit ahead of Luther Strange in this primary runoff. But I want to break down the difference for the two of these people for you, the amazing difference in character between these men. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the products that we sell here that fund this operation. Of course, one of those is water filters. And we have one of our biggest water filters. I think it is the biggest in the ProPure line. The ProPure King is now 30% off. It filters out 99.9% of all organic and inorganic contaminants, as well as filtering out bacteria and other things out of the water. And this is very important because people spend so much money on bottled water. I was just reading this story that came out of Bloomberg, research that they did, and it was picked up and commented on by Zero Hedge. They're pointing out that it isn't just Nestle that is buying massive amounts of water from California. When they have a drought, they can take the stuff out. They pay a flat fee of like $524 to extract 30 million gallons of water, even during droughts in San Bernardino, California. And they get that because of the federal government, the U.S. Forestry Service. So I talked about the crony capitalist aspects of this in the last hour. But here's the other part of this, and that is that they're getting groundwater, and they're selling it as spring water. And so there's a big lawsuit going on about this, whether or not they're allowed to sell Poland spring water at a premium. They say consumers are bringing a legal action seeking at least $5 million in monetary damages and a national class and several state subclasses in the lawsuit. They said that this is brought by some people in the Northeast who bought this water, said allegedly spent thousands of dollars on it in recent years. You know, it doesn't take much to spend thousands of dollars on bottled water. If that's all you drink is bottled water in these plastic bottles. It's not even a healthy plastic. You know, they have a PPA free plastic bottles. That's not what this is, folks. And so this stuff is sitting in these, if it was clean water to start with, it isn't going to be clean after it's been sitting in those plastic bottles for a long time. But it hinges on whether or not the sources of Poland spring water meet the FDA's definition of a spring. Now, they are alleging in the suit that Nestle's water is actually purifying and bottling groundwater, some of which comes from sites that are near waste and garbage dumps. If they're doing this, and they're doing it in poor communities, you know, they could very easily be going into a community like Flint, Michigan, where they found in their groundwater, they found in their municipal water lead, and they didn't know it. You never know what is going to be in your water. That's why you should be proactive and make sure you've got something to filter it right now. You can get the ProPure King water filter 30% off. Be proactive in taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, and you're going to save yourself a lot of money if you take care of cleaning your water. You never know. They use these terms like natural spring water and so forth. Even if it was coming out of a spring, you don't know if that spring has been contaminated by glyphosates and other things like that. You can filter out glyphosates with the ProPure King water filter, with the other water filters that we have. The difference in these different water filters is the size of the filter that you're getting. And the largest one that we have right now, Gravity Feed, doesn't need any electricity, 30% off. Also, all Emrix Essentials, that's our line of organic household products, 50% off. We have 50% off the Super Blue toothpaste and mouthwash. And again, we take out the harmful fluoride that other toothpastes put in and brag about putting it in. We take that out and we put in nanosilver and iodine to fight bacteria, which causes gum disease, which causes tooth loss, as well as heart issues. Also, you can provide and make sure that you have a store of food with InfoWars Select Storable Food. You can make sure you've got a 25-year shelf life on this. It's made in the USA. It is non-GMO. It has great packaging. And it is a way for you to protect yourself against spikes in food prices
but also to protect yourself against even natural disasters from weather and other things where you don't have time to go down and fight with the crowds to try to get the food off when there's an emergency on the way. You can get 50% off right now with the promo code READY. And this week only, you can get an additional 20% off InfoWars Patriot Blend or Immune Support Blend coffee at checkout when you enter the code WAKEUP. That's 20% off InfoWars Patriot Blend or Immune Support Blend coffee at checkout when you enter the code WAKEUP. All right, let's go back to the race in Alabama that we'll have the election tomorrow. And, of course, on my Twitter account on Libertarian, I have a poll there that you're welcome to vote on. It's going to be up for about another 20 hours or so. Right now, Judge Roy Moore is leading Luther Strange about 70 to 30%. That's been pretty consistent throughout the whole time, and it's just under 8,000 votes there on that poll. So you can find that at Libertarian. That's the Twitter account that I have. I was just talking about Luther Strange, how we had this corruption charges, multiple felony violations. The first time they were going to impeach a judge in Alabama, they even had to go through and create a process to do it, but they were busy doing that. But the Attorney General, Luther Strange, wasn't. And he got appointed by this corrupt governor who had to step down. He got appointed to the U.S. Senate. And he is dearly beloved by Mitch McConnell. Why? Because that's exactly the kind of guy the establishment is looking for, isn't it? We have seen it so many times. We've seen Dennis Hastert plucked from obscurity as a pedophile child molesting wrestling coach and put in by the GOP as their longest serving Speaker of the House. So Luther Strange, with his ethical issues there, and of course there's other issues as well in terms of immigration and EB-5 visas that he's involved in. And he refuses to take a stand on any immigration issues, really on pretty much anything. He's just there to do whatever Mitch McConnell tells him. He is an independent rubber stamp. But we see exactly the opposite of Judge Roy Moore. Whether you agree with him or not on the issues, he is going to be his own man. We need people who are independent thinkers. But let me tell you what he is willing to do. When we're talking about the monuments that are being torn down in this country, and this isn't just an annoyance. This isn't just a bunch of people throwing temper tantrums. This is a deliberate effort to destroy the foundations, cultural, historical, legal of our country. Judge Roy Moore saw this in 2001. As the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, he said, I'm going to put up a monument to the Ten Commandments to remind people what the foundation of this country is about. That created a fight with lawyers. He said, that's establishing religion. And he goes, no, actually, it was religion that established our code of law, our code of ethics in this country. And so that turned into a fight. They ultimately removed him from office. And then he was put back in by the people of Alabama. And then he was removed most recently because he said that we had, when the federal government was dictating the definition of marriage, he said, in Alabama, we already have a law, and we have the 10th Amendment at the federal level that says that the government doesn't have the authority to define marriage. That is at the state level. For standing up, he was taken out a second time in the Supreme Court. We need people like that.
Information warfare against pushers of fake news. You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight, and joining us now is James Gearock. Mr. Gearock has been part of a group called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. See, there's a couple of different issues here that are very important. One of them is not to necessarily advocate for drug use, and certainly he doesn't. He advocates for tackling the drug problem in a very different way than with prohibition. And he's going to explain that to us. Prohibition presents us with some very important constitutional issues as well as sovereignty issues. And I want to get Mr. Gearock on because he was the person who woke me up to the fact that our drug war was actually a UN agenda. 10 years before President Nixon declared the war on drugs and came out with the schedules that we currently have and the drugs that are in those schedules, 10 years before that, we had those schedules created by the United Nations. And they populated the different rankings, the different four schedules, they populated that with the various drugs. And of course, in the most dangerous drug category, Schedule 1 is marijuana. So we have an interesting legal conflict here that I want Mr. Gearock to speak to, because he is a lawyer. He's been a prosecutor. He woke up to the negative effects of prohibition. And like many other former prosecutors, some of them current prosecutors, some of them current judges, some of them current law enforcement officers, they've woken up to the negative consequences of prohibition, how it does not help us with the drug problem. But also, we want to address the constitutional and sovereignty issues that it presents to us as we see this conflict now, especially highlighted between Attorney General Sessions, who wants to push back against the various state referenda that have made marijuana legal for medical use or for recreational use. He wants to push back on that. Does he have the constitutional authority to do that? We're going to ask Mr. Gearock, who is joining us now. Thank you so much for joining us.
David, a pleasure to be with you today.
Let's talk first about the UN agenda, because we had this back and forth with, I think it was Trey Gowdy and another individual in Congress. They were talking to someone who was with the administration in drug policy, and they really hammered this guy on why marijuana was still considered to be a Schedule One drug. And they said, why is it classified as a more dangerous drug than meth, for example? And the guy said, yeah, I don't really know. I'll have to take a look at that. Well, you know, don't you, Mr. Gearock? Who put it there? Yeah.
The United Nations passed in 1961 the Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs. And in Schedule 1, it lists marijuana along with heroin. Schedule 1 is designed to say that these particular drugs are so dangerous and so addictive and having no medical value or use that we're going to outlaw them in Schedule 1 so that no one is entitled to have them or use them. And, of course, that contradicts millenniums of history with medical marijuana being used for just such a long time.
And of course, you commented, too. You made an interesting comment about prohibition. You said if Al Capone, because you're from Cook County, where Al Capone was, you said if Al Capone were alive today, he would be an advocate of drug prohibition, just like all the politicians who have supported it. By prohibiting marijuana, you have turned a plant that people can grow almost anywhere, that's why they call it a weed, into one of the most valuable commodities on earth. Your comments.
it's the heart of what's wrong. You know, Al Capone was in favor of prohibiting a substance that people wanted. And he says, I'm just a businessman providing people what they want. Mm-hmm. And now we have it multiplied so many times because alcohol was a bulky business. You had to be rich to go into the business. You had to have warehouses, vehicles to transport the liquor. But today with powdered Tang and drugs of every sort, you can put $10,000 worth of drugs in your pocket and your pocket won't bulge.
So that, and of course, if we go back to prohibition, the things that we're seeing, go ahead.
Any kid with a pair of gym shoes and a gun can go into the drug business. You don't need to be rich.
That's right. Especially with something like meth.
This United Nations philosophy where it says the only legitimate use of drugs are for scientific medical purpose. And the fact is that most people use drugs for recreational purposes. So according to the United Nations, hundreds of millions of people a year are using illicit drugs. So we're criminalizing hundreds of millions of people when there's no way to lock up that many people. We have 10 million people incarcerated around the world, a quarter of them from the United States, and the United States going from 300,000 people locked up to 2.3 million because of this wonderful war on drugs, which puts more drugs uncontrolled and unregulated everywhere.
But of course, that's part of that is the profit by building those prisons. So that's a lot of support there from the prison industry to build those prisons. Sure. But one of the things that you said was in talking about medicine, you know, the UN said, if it doesn't have medical use, and yet we know that marijuana does have medical use. And if you get to that point where you've got some foreign body of people like the United Nations, this is what should get conservatives upset And that's the sovereignty issue. You've got a lot of conservatives will support this because they see the harm that can be done with the abuse of drugs. And that certainly is something that you'll talk to. You've talked to that, spoken to that issue as well. That's a separate issue, however, from prohibition, because using the force of law enforcement isn't necessarily the way to, and we've seen now after 40 some odd years that it is not an effective way to stop that harm. But when you look at the medical issue, why can a government tell us what we can and cannot use as medicine? I mean, that's a whole nother issue. And yet it's not even our own government. It was the United Nations that started putting this in. And they were the ones that were first out of the block to criticize the very first states that had referenda that legalized medical marijuana or legalized recreational use to you and said, you can't do that. And it's like, well, you and what army are going to stop us? That's what conservatives should understand. I think they should see this overreaching agenda as they want to use law enforcement to solve every societal problem. They should understand that this is a societal problem that is not going to yield to a law enforcement solution.
There's no way to lock up all these people that are using drugs, and we shouldn't want to. People should be free to decide what to put into their own bodies, what to eat, what's medicine and what's not medicine. And when not only our own federal government, but the state governments and the United Nations step in and start deciding these things for us, we're going down a path of criminalization, putting people in prison on a racially discriminatory basis, creating new drugs, more harmful drugs. Instead of marijuana, we invent K2 and spice that really cause serious harm to people because it has no representative value of what the plant actually is.
And that's what I was going to speak to earlier when you were talking about alcohol prohibition. What we saw in alcohol prohibition is the same thing we're seeing now, and that is more intense forms of alcohol because they want to concentrate it for the purposes of shipping it around. But every time you have prohibition, whatever you're trying to prohibit, you get stronger, more concentrated, more dangerous forms of it. And we have seen that even with marijuana. We get more concentrated, more dangerous forms of marijuana when we try to prohibit it by legal means.
And drug policy, good drug policy, everything works in reverse. The harder you try to suppress drugs, the more they flourish, because when you increase the price when you prohibit something that people want. And as a consequence, we give an economic incentive for people to do the wrong thing, to do the very thing that we're trying to prevent them from doing. And then we're surprised that we have more drugs. You want to increase meth and availability and use and overdose and harm? Increase the penalties.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back with James Gierock, and you can find him on Twitter at James Gierock. That's G-I-E-R-A-C-H. We'll be right back talking about prohibition, talking about the Constitution, talking about sovereignty. Those are important things. If they can prohibit what you take, they can force you to take certain medicines as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And we're talking to James Gierock. He is a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can find them at leap.cc. Also, you can find Mr. Gierock on Twitter at James Gierock. That is G-I-E-R-A-C-H. At James Gierock is where you'll find him on Twitter. I want to get back to the important issues before us on this because it is a health issue. And there is harm that can be done with the abuse of drugs. But understand this, that if you do not have the choice as to what medicine you're going to take, then they can also, the same big pharmaceutical companies that deny natural ingredients, natural medicine, they can also force their medicines on you. They can force their vaccines on you. It's the same principle. And you have to understand, and Mr. Gierock is here because he does understand, as I point out, he was the one who woke me up to the fact that 10 years before Richard Nixon declared a war on drugs, you had the UN in 1961. That was in 1971. We had our war on drugs for 46 years. That has done nothing. except make the drugs more concentrated, give us a much larger organized crime issue, a massive prison population. But it hasn't done anything in terms of drug use or drug addiction. And that was created 10 years before Richard Nixon. We had a UN agenda that created the four schedules, that put all the different items into those four schedules. And that's what you need to understand, where this is coming from. If you're a conservative, you're concerned about drugs, that is a medical issue. It is a psychological issue. It is a spiritual issue. But as we've seen with 46 years of experimentation, it is not a law enforcement issue. But it is a constitutional issue. And it is a sovereignty issue. We're going to get right back to Mr. Gearock real quickly. We have several products at 50% off. We have InfoWars Select Storable Food. You can get 50% off with a promo code READY that has a shelf life of 25 years. It is non-GMO, made in the USA, and has great packaging at this point. It's going to last for 25 years. Once you open it, you can reseal it and use it for a short period of time after that. We have 50% off the high-quality Super Blue toothpastes and mouthwashes that has nano silver in it, as well as iodine to fight gum disease, to fight infection of your gums. We also have Caveman True Paleo Formula, also 50% off. 50% off all Emrex Essential Packs. That's our line of organic household products. And this week only, we have 20% off InfoWars Patriot Blend or Immune Support Blend Coffee at checkout when you enter the code WAKEUP. Just enter the code WAKEUP to get 20% off of those coffee blends at InfoWarsStore.com. Mr. Gearock, as we're talking about this and where this comes from, it's brought up some important constitutional issues that I'd like for you to talk about as a lawyer. I've mentioned before that it took a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol, and yet we had no such respect for the Constitution when we did drug prohibition in general. But now we have an attorney general in Jeff Sessions who's decided that he is going to make it his first order of business to try to overthrow the referendums that we've had in various states that legalize medical marijuana or recreational use of marijuana. Your comment on that in light of the 10th Amendment?
When a state passes a marijuana referendum saying that we want marijuana for medical purposes or we want it for recreational purposes or both, we don't need the federal government or the United Nations to step in and say that we, the people, can't have what we want because the federal government and the UN are interfering. We need sovereignty. We need the right to privacy, the right for individuals to decide how they're going to live their life, how to pursue health, and how to pursue happiness.
Yes, and you put on your blog, and if people want to follow Mr. Gearock's blog, they can find it at jamesgearock.tumblr.com. And again, you spell Gearock, G-I-E-R-A-C-H. You pointed out that if we're going to turn this around, we need to abandon, number one, UN drug prohibition policies, because it's coming from the UN. Number two, UN drug prohibition treaties and national drug prohibition laws implementing those policies and treaties. So that's the fundamental issue there. What is your sense? Because we're seeing the people at the state level thumbing their nose at UN drug policies, at federal drug policies. How do you see this turning? You think we've turned a corner on this? Are people going to get this in a broader sense beyond marijuana, or is it going to continue to spread, or is it going to be shut down? What do you think?
I think the people of the United States are going to have to lead themselves out of this drug war morass, out of this incarceration of the gangs and the shooting, the prohibition, the racially discriminatory law enforcement, the militarization of police departments, the trade imbalance with our money going out and other drugs coming in. With turning basically our nation into a nation of informants where you get caught by law enforcement and then you extricate yourself from your problems by putting the finger on someone else who gave you these drugs, who sold you these drugs, undermining the very moral fabric of this country, the caring about one another, the golden rule, and displacing it with this god-awful war on drugs.
You know, one of the things that bothers me, and maybe you can speak to this, is civil asset forfeiture. I mean, this is something I try to pull this up and present it in a way that conservatives are going to understand. In other words, this is coming to us as a UN agenda. This is something that came to us that is involved violation of the Constitution and so forth. But take a look at the attack on individual private property and due process, that civil asset forfeiture, where they don't even have to charge you with a crime, let alone find you guilty to confiscate your property. To me, that is the most amazing thing, and I can't understand why conservatives can't get their head around it. I don't hear anybody in the Republican Party talking about it except for Rand Paul.
You know, I call it the drug war gravy train riders. The people who build the prisons, the people who are spraying Columbia, the manufacturers of the substances, the people who supply the jails, even the drug treaters, the academics, the drug testing firms, the pharmaceutical, everybody's got their hand in the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. Billions of dollars have gone to law enforcement because we take the assets of the drug dealers and we give it to law enforcement.
Yes.
So that there's an incentive not to solve the murder, the rape, the violent crime, but instead to see who is trading drugs for money on a voluntary, consensual basis as adults in America.
But it's even beyond that, because we have people who are never even charged with a crime. I remember one incident with a guy who was a private pilot, and he took a couple of guys in suits and a briefcase from the U.S. to Canada. When he came back, they arrested those two guys because they're involved in a drug thing. They said, "We know you don't know anything about it. We're going to take your plane because your plane committed a crime."
Where'd you get the money? What are you going to use the money for? And they take it, and now you prove, so that the burden of proof is on the individual, the citizen, and instead of on the government, just turning constitutional law on its head. We have a Bill of Rights until it comes to the war on drugs, and then there is no Bill of Rights.
Exactly.
We can have the police come barging through the door, shoot the mayor's dog, and some arrest a wrong address on a search warrant some years ago in an eastern state. But one of the things I'd like to mention, if I may, David, I've been hopeful for such a long time that international diplomats who see that the drug problem is worse in their country, the crime is worse. In Central America, so many kids being killed, people fleeing their own country because the drug war violence is so horrific, people overdosing. In America, across the country, an opioid epidemic. And instead of our politicians, instead of even our drug policy reform leaders saying we need to turn off the faucet that pours out the harms endlessly and say, end the drug war, legalize drugs, control and regulate them, and instead of simply harm reduction, trying to figure out how can we better, more safely live with drug prohibition? You can't live safely with drug prohibition. You can't have freedom with drug prohibition. You can't have health with drug prohibition. You can't live life as we all want to and have substances prohibited and outlawed and made criminal offenses.
I think a good analogy of that is what we saw happen with tobacco. They said, look, tobacco is very harmful for your health. And so they did public service ads. It was educational. They appealed to people's intellect instead of sending in armed SWAT teams to kick down the door of anybody who's smoking inside of their house. And we didn't do that with marijuana or with any of the other drugs. Instead, we used the hammer of law enforcement. We have shredded and burned the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we still have a bigger problem than we ever had before because we haven't taken an approach that respects people, that respects their choice, that respects the law.
You know, even the leadership in the Democratic Party, Senator Durbin happens to be from Illinois. He's the number two man in the Democratic Party. And I just got a letter from him saying that, well, we shouldn't legalize marijuana, but it may be helpful for black women. It's like 20 years ago information. He has no idea of the benefits of this drug, not to pick on one.
We're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. And you can find Mr. Gearock at James Gearock. You find him on Twitter. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight with Real News.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight, your host. Here we have a Supreme Court is about to get back in session. October the 2nd. They've got a lot of things that they're going to be talking about, things that they will be deciding on our behalf, because we don't elect them, do we? They're politically appointed judges. We are treating their decisions as if they were law. We have every Supreme Court judge who comes up for confirmation kowtows to that false notion. We've had the Supreme Court reversing itself, and nobody finds them unconstitutional, but we've had presidents in the past say, well, they have made their ruling. Let's see them enforce it. We had the founders say that it was the judiciary was the least dangerous of the branches of federal government because they had no power to enforce anything. But now they do. Now they do. Now they have, and this is, as I mentioned to you earlier, the Democrats are launching a $15 million campaign for lawyers, for attorneys general in various states to take on Trump, to take on the Trump agenda. Because the Trump agenda is something that is going to continue to go, we hope, after President Trump leaves. And that agenda is nationalism, economic nationalism, and having control over our own future here. But they're going to try to fight any move by President Trump to undo any executive orders by President Obama. So the Democrats have funded a new organization to give $10 to $15 million to elect people at the attorney general level, because what they can't win at the ballot box, they are going to force down our throats in the court. So here's some of the stuff that the Supreme Court is going to try to force down our throat. They're going to take a look at Trump and the travel ban. They had absolutely no problem with any executive orders from Barack Obama, including things like DACA. That was one of the things that Judge Roy Moore said in the debate that they had Thursday night. He said, there is no such thing as a dreamer. He said, we have immigration law. That was not immigration law. That was a series of memos from Homeland Security that the president put out there as with the power of an executive order, because it's coming from the executive branch. But he says there is no legal status for the people that we're calling dreamers. He got it right on the head there. Then we have religious liberty and gay rights. And again, if we're going to take a look at the fact that we have people who are small business people who do not have a monopoly, they may have a bakery or they may have a photography business, and if they prefer not to get involved in a ceremony because of religious reasons, they prefer not to get involved in a ceremony that is about a homosexual marriage, then they shouldn't have the government hold a gun to their head. And if they're going to hold a gun to the head of a small business and saying, well, you are operating in the public venue, so therefore we are going to tell you who you can and cannot serve, or you're not going to have a choice as to who you serve, then how do we justify the government-pushed censorship of social media, of YouTube, of Facebook, of others? They do have a monopoly. They have a de facto monopoly, and yet we're not allowed to have them operate in a non-discriminatory measure. But forget it if a small baker or photographer does that. No, no, no. They're going to be shut down. And clearly what we're seeing with YouTube and with Facebook, it is a political-based censorship. They're also going to talk about partisan gerrymandering. They're now concerned about gerrymandering. This is something that we've had since the beginning of America. They called it gerrymandering. That's been around with us from the foundations of this country. And I didn't necessarily like it. It's where the state legislature that is in power gets to draw the congressional lines, and they draw things like funny things like salamanders. That's why they called it gerrymandering. The first one, they said, hey, that looks like a salamander. So they would draw the districting lines to suit themselves. And we saw this happen in North Carolina particularly. And now they're at the center of some of these fights here. In North Carolina, they had been Democrats since the Civil War. When they got Republicans in 2008, they changed the districting lines, and that got them Republicans in Congress. In 2010, after electing Barack Obama in 2008, North Carolinians didn't like his policies. It wasn't about racism. They didn't like his policies, so they voted for Republicans, and they had a sweep of everything except Congress because of the districting lines. Now they're saying, that's racist, and we're going to take over that at the federal level. We'll be right back.
Found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
back to Real News. I'm David Knight. And Anthony Weiner has been the source of unending double entendres and puns, and now we see the headline from the New York Post, Weiner gets hard time. 21 months in prison on Monday for convincing a high school student to do various things. We won't go into the details of this on radio, but this was back in 2016. So you can actually send some of these people to prison, but not most of them. Not Hillary, not Susan Rice, not Samantha Powers, not the national security apparatus that was involved in politics fundamentally. So we have to, but we have had one guy who is going to jail. I guess he must have mightily offended Hillary Clinton, because I can't understand any other reason why this guy would be going to jail, because it's just fine to do that, right? I mean, we got California schools that are out there abusing and confusing children, very young children. And of course, this story, and we played the clip for you last week, they said, we're going to play this book that talks about, it's called I Am Jazz. It was a book to tell these young children in kindergarten about transgender sex issues. Do you think they can understand that? You shouldn't have somebody who is a stranger in school talking to your kids about any kind of sex. That's why we have the age of consent. And that's what this is about. This is about getting rid of that. This is the brave new world. Huxley was right, and really, most of the population is getting the Brave New World treatment. They want us to live in this hedonistic, drug-filled society. And again, I'm not in favor of prohibition, because that doesn't do the work. We've seen now for 46 years, we've seen that law enforcement doesn't get the job done. Instead, it makes it worse. And so we have now lost our Constitution. We've lost our Bill of Rights. We have a massive transfer of capital to foreign countries. We have a massive prison population. We have militarized police and so forth and so on. And we've destroyed the rule of law. But we haven't done anything to stop drug use, because it is a medical issue. It is a spiritual issue. And we refuse to accept that. Instead, we just want to use it, the hammer of law enforcement out there on people. So you're going to get the Brave New World treatment unless you're aware of what's going on. Then they're going to give you the 1984 treatment if you stand up to this. But they want everybody to get into this Brave New World situation. That's why they're talking to our kindergarten children about transgender issues. And the parents in California were just fine with it. When I played that clip last week, one of the individuals said, I'm really kind of glad that they did this, because I wouldn't have had the courage to talk to my children about this. That's actually what one of them said. Some of them, however, have said, no, we're not going to allow this to happen, and they've taken their kids out of school because they do not want their kids used in this way. And now we have, it's not just California. We got a Florida teacher sends home a letter asking fifth graders to use a gender-neutral pronoun when addressing him or her in the classroom. A Florida teacher sent a letter to parents requesting that students address her using a gender-neutral pronoun. Chloe Brassick, who teaches fifth grade and math at an elementary school in Tallahassee, included the request with a welcome letter sent home to parents at the beginning of the school year. One thing you should know about me is that I use gender-neutral terms. My prefix is MX, pronounced mix. Additionally, my pronouns are they, them, their, instead of he, his, she, hers. My priority is for all my students to be comfortable in classroom. I don't think they're going to be comfortable with that. See, this is why a couple of individuals who do this, or a couple of individuals who tear down a monument or a statue, they're doing it for themselves, and they're doing it because they don't really care about women who are uncomfortable in a situation where men are coming into the restroom with them. They don't really care about other people. This is a tyranny of the minority. And when we look at Anthony Weiner, and we look at the fact that he's going to jail, he absolutely deserves it. But why then are we doing far worse, in my opinion, in elementary schools and applauding it in places like California? But it's not just limited to California. It's across this country that we have this type of thing happening. Why are they doing this to kids in kindergarten? Why are they talking to them about transgender issues and freaking them out? That's what we should all be asking ourselves. And then the political correctness, the madness
that we see everywhere. We've got in Portland now, they're going to get rid of Columbus Day. They're going to call it Indigenous Peoples Day. It kind of reminds me of that protest sign that I saw where the guy was holding up. This was, we didn't cross your borders, you crossed our borders. This was Mexico in 1794. And he shows a map of the United States and all of it except for the Atlantic coast original colonies he labels as Mexico. Well, he chose that date as a date that Louisiana area and Florida that had been under other countries' control was returned to Spain at that time. But it was Spain, not Mexico, that had that territory at that time. And if you're going to say after Mexico declared its independence and fought a war and got its independence decades after 1794, if you're going to say that Mexico is legitimate, then you have to say that when people fight wars for independence or when they have votes or when land is sold from one group to the other, then it's legitimate. Instead of going back to Indigenous Peoples Day, this is how we drew the map. We drew the map with war, with conquest, with votes of independence, with purchases in some cases, like the Louisiana Purchase. That's the way the map was drawn. But they selectively choose it into certain areas. Meanwhile, in California, we got white teachers under fire for making eighth grade students reenact slavery by tying them up with masking tape and making them lie on the ground. The school, however, is mostly made up of Asian and Hispanic students. There's only 20 black students out of 1,000. But they all must be taught to hate white people. They must be taught to hate our history, our culture, our law, and the fact that we have even a nation. When you look at the pushback against Donald Trump for saying what many of us were thinking about the NFL, just remember that it was only about a week or so ago that a charity run in North Carolina that was called Try at the Trump, T-R-I at the Trump. It was a triathlon that was being organized there. It was for charity purposes. It would have helped children with cancer and other terminal diseases. But because they were holding it at a Trump hotel and they called it Try at the Trump, it was shut down. People were outraged. Initially, the guy tried to change the name from Try at the Trump to Try for Good, but that could not appease the politically correct gods. Instead, they demanded that it all be shut down because at one point in time, this charity event for children with cancer and other terminal diseases had included the name Trump in it. So it must be purged as an event. So he finally gave up. He said, well, looks like the best way to avoid a situation is to not have it at all. See, that is what we cannot do. We cannot kowtow to this political correctness. He should have stood up to them. He should have continued to have it at the Trump place. Because really, if you go back and you look at it, I think most of the people who were upset about it, it's going to be a handful of people, just like we're seeing even with the NFL. We're looking at about 10, 11% of the NFL players who are upset about this. Most of the fans are upset about what the players are doing. But they don't care about that. They're going to shove this down your throat. And one other issue I want to take a look at. This is an amazing story, and I think it speaks volumes for the back and forth in terms of being pro-life. We have a situation in India. And this came out, I guess it was about a week and a half ago. They had Indian doctors were told, there's a 13-year-old girl who had been raped, and it was, they said, a brutal rape by her father's coworker. And they had a court case, and we're going to cover this when we come back because we're out of time. It's very important to see what they did because they had a court that told the doctors that they were going to have to end the pregnancy. I want you to hear what the doctors did to end the pregnancy when we come back. We'll be right back. Back to Real News. I'm David Knight. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by an actress, Julianne Davis. She was in Eyes Wide Shut and other films. She said it was absolutely shocking when she came out in Hollywood as a conservative, what they did with her. And I think it mirrors what we saw happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as the coach and all the team said, we're not going to take the field. And one individual who is a former Army Ranger, Villa Nueva, I believe is the way you pronounce his name. Yeah, that's the right way to pronounce his name. Okay, Villa Nueva came out because he was a former Army Ranger. He could not stay there. He felt it was disrespecting the flag. So he stood out. We're going to see what happens to him. But, of course, we also had a situation where we had an actress taken off of The View because she simply asked Hillary why she was attacking other Democrats in her book. What happened? So coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk to Julianne Davis, find out what happened to her in Hollywood when she bucked the crowd mentality, all of these people who no longer have any tolerance for any speech that disagrees with them. We'll be talking to her in the next segment. Before we get back to the news, I just want to remind you of some of the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50% off a variety of products. We have 50% off of the toothpaste and mouthwash products, these Super Blue formulas that have nano silver as well as fluoride. We also have 50% off InfoWars Select Storable Food. You use coupon code READY for that. We have 50% off of all Emmerich's Essentials. That's our organic line of household products. Take a look at the sales that we have there. And we also have 20% off of a couple of selected coffees at checkout if you put in the code WAKEUP. So take a look at the discounts that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what supports our operation, and that's what supports your health, your choice to make an educated decision about what your family is going to use for health, what they're going to use, how they're going to treat their water. We talked about that earlier in the program, how the companies are making massive profits off of just bottling groundwater, calling it spring water. There's lawsuits going on, but they're making a million times markup on these products that they're putting out there. You can get 30% off the ProPure King water filter. That's our biggest gravity feed water filter, and it takes out 99.9% of contaminants, whether they're organic, inorganic, or bacteriological. That's the way to take care of your family's health and not get damaged by that because you don't realize what is in your water, because that is constantly changing. Before we get to the stories about political correctness, I want to finish with this story about what happened in India. There's a 13-year-old girl who became pregnant after being raped. She got the right to have an abortion in India's Supreme Court. Typically, they only allow abortions in India up to 20 weeks. Afterwards, a pregnancy can only be legally terminated if the life of the mother is at stake. But they cited the trauma that this 13-year-old girl had suffered. So rather than kill the baby, when they told the doctors terminate her pregnancy, what the doctors did was they gave her a C-section, and they saved the life of the baby. And as they point out on mrctv.org, they said rather than perform a barbaric D&E procedure, an abortion procedure, which is common in third trimester abortions, in which a viable unborn child is dismembered in utero and removed from the womb in pieces, doctors instead performed a premature cesarean. They fulfilled the court order by ending the pregnancy, but they did not end the life. And they said this brings up a couple of crucial points in the debate over late-term abortions. If a woman elects to undergo a late-term abortion, one in which her viable unborn child can be delivered safely through an induced premature delivery or voluntary C-section, then performing an invasive abortion procedure specifically designed to end the baby's life is gratuitous, unnecessary, murder. So they say, or you could do a simple C-section. It's arguably more natural and less physically traumatic than forcing open a woman's cervix, removing a baby in chunks, and scraping out the uterus with a blade. You see the difference there? If, on the other hand, the only acceptable way to end a pregnancy earlier is one that results in a dead baby, then the abortion industry's agenda could not be more clear. Think about that. A very interesting decision that those doctors in India made. Now, I want to play for you a clip. Now, we talked about this last week. You had somebody who was on the Blaze. Her name is Jedediah Billa. She was thrown out of The View after she simply asked Hillary Clinton why she was criticizing other Democrats so heavily in her book. What happened? They have removed her, immediately removed her And she was replaced by, as Daily Mail puts it, conservative Meghan McCain. Meghan McCain is not a conservative. John McCain is not a conservative. She's probably more liberal than John McCain. And it's absolutely amazing how they purge anybody over political correctness. Here's a clip.
Democrats have come out as well, former campaign surrogates of yours, former fundraisers, and said, this book puts us in the past, and we want to move forward. We want to figure out where to take this party, how to succeed in the future, and this places us in the past. How do you respond to Democrats also coming out in criticism of your writing this?
Well, I think they first should read the book.
Yes.
And they should read the book because what I try to do is to say, okay, here's what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you my best assessment, the evidence that I have at my fingertips. But it's not just about the past. For example, the Russians are still messing with our democracy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they will be as aggressive.
It's you and your intelligence services that were messing with our democracy. Okay, let's hold it right there. So because of that, because she happened to point out that the Empress had no clothes, that the Empress was attacking her own party in order to justify her loss. And again, when she's talking about the Russians hacking the election, what she's saying is that the Russians somehow got information out of the DNC that showed how she was stealing the election from Bernie Sanders. And they didn't steal it. We have shown you numerous times, and we've had not only the testimony and the statements of Julian Assange, but also of a former UK ambassador who said, I went to America. I was handed a thumb drive that had the information on it. Julian Assange said there was no state organization involved. But, of course, don't believe the people who have never lied to us. Instead, believe Hillary Clinton. Believe the Democrat Party. Believe her private contractor, CrowdStrike, who said, we were hacked by the Russians because they don't want to admit that they had some kind of an internal pushback. That was what was happening as the Democrat convention was coming up. So they pushed this narrative to cover up what was revealed because they don't want you paying any attention to what was actually shown about Hillary Clinton then and later. And they also want to cover up their crimes, where they were illegally spying on people without search warrants, where they were illegally unmasking them. That's why they created this whole Russian narrative, and that is what is going to unravel. That's what we're ultimately going to find out. But then Hillary Clinton doubles down and says women are disrespecting themselves by supporting Donald Trump. So now she's attacking even women because, of course, her whole thing, the only thing she had going for her was Madam President, was the identity politics that she was running. But when we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who was ostracized in Hollywood, an actress who came out as a conservative. Her name is Julianne Davis, and we'll be right back. I'm David Knight with Real News. David Knight on this Monday, September 25th, 2017. All over the weekend, we have been hearing nothing other than how intolerant and hateful President Trump was for saying that he and many of us find it offensive, the kind of protests that are being conducted in the NFL. And again, they have the right to free speech, and we have the right to free speech, don't we? But no, evidently we don't. Only they have a right to free speech, even when they misapply it, even when they aim their protests at the wrong people, and they don't really care how it's being taken. And then we played for you in the last segment the person on The View, Jedediah Bella, who had the audacity to say something to Hillary Clinton about her book. Why are you attacking so many Democrats? And they think, well, you need to read the book, blah, blah. This is a woman who had a contract, and that contract was then terminated, and she was immediately fired because she had the audacity to do anything other than to praise Hillary Clinton. And so we're going to talk to an actress now from Hollywood. Her name is Julianne Davis. She was born in L.A., but she left home at 17. She went to New York, pursued a career in classical ballet. Then she became a successful international model. She went to a lot of different cities, L.A., New York, London, Paris, but she wound up staying in London. And at that time, she got a role in Stanley Kubrick's movie Eyes Wide Shut. She had just auditioned to become an extra, but instead she got a pivotal role in the film. And at that point, she started getting other acting roles. She's been in a lot of major films, House of Nine, starring Dennis Hopper, Come Together, starring James Darcy for television. She's on a regular, series for BBC comedy called Too Much Sun, and many other things in the UK. But her big issue, and the thing that we wanted to talk to her about, is the fact that she came out as a conservative, and that cannot be tolerated in Hollywood. Now, you can find her on Twitter, Julien Davis, that's J-U-L-I-E-N-N-E, Davis, and you can also find her on juliendavis.com. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Davis.
Hi, thank you for having me, David.
You had in a piece that you wrote, you said you had a couple of options. You had somebody offer you a chance to write for a right of center political magazine or libertarian slant in the magazine. So you could either not do that or you could do it. You said you had a couple of different options. Tell us about that and tell us what you decided to do.
Well, it was actually about a year ago, an editor kind of acquaintance of mine that actually did my first interview in England. He came to me and said, do you want to write for Heat Street magazine? And I thought, okay, you know, I could just talk about my experiences and not necessarily be talking politically. But once I started down that road, I realized I really enjoyed it. And you know, I just felt that in Hollywood, I hadn't been working that much anyway in network shows and things like that. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be forward about my beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened?
Well, so I started writing for them. I did a number of articles and then sadly Heat Street closed.
Mm-hmm. What kind of subjects were you writing about when you wrote for this libertarian or right of center magazine? What were the subjects that you picked up?
Oh, gosh. Let's see.
That would offend them. politically correct left.
I talked about feminism. Mm-hmm. I talked about how, you know, people go on about global warming, but they don't actually understand the ins and outs of how it works with the city and how to get green projects approved. That can be a real nightmare.
So you went right to the heart of their religion, right? the whole green movement, you know, because that is basically, they call anybody that disagrees with anything they have to say, they call you a denier, or they might as well call us infidels. If we question any of the science or any of the solutions that they come up with, then we're instantly a denier. So you went right to the heart of their religion. I'm sure they found that very offensive. Oh, okay, we lost her on there. She said, in writing in her article, we're going to get we'll get in touch with her again here. They're going to call her right back. She said she had a couple of options. She said, option number one, I could start apologizing to all my Hollywood liberal friends and associates who had been shocked by my writing. And I could tell them I really didn't mean it. It was just a paid job, and I was simply doing it for the work. Or option two, she could have the courage of her convictions and continue down that path. And, you know, that's the sort of thing that we saw with it. We've got her back now. That's the sort of thing we saw, Julianne, with the football player. All the rest of the people took the politically correct path. The coach said, we're not even going to go out on the field. We're going to just hide in the dressing room. I guess they figured maybe that was kind of a neutral statement, but it was a statement nevertheless. And so we had the football player, Villanueva, came out and said he'd been an Army Ranger. He said, I'm going to stay in here and hide this. I'm going to, you know, and actually I saw on Twitter somebody had put out the rules and regulations of the NFL, and they have that in the NFL that they're going to go out and they're going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. But anyway, he did that, and now he's basically gone against his teammate. He's gone against the coach, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. That's what you did in Hollywood.
Yeah, and good for him. Because I really feel like we're in a place in America and actually in all of the West where our very civilization is being dismantled brick by brick. And I think that all of us need to stand up for that.
If we let them shame us into silence, we're not going to have anything left.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, if I never work in Hollywood again on a network show, so be it. I don't care. I think that what's happening in the West is more important than my career or you know, or in the case of this guy at the NFL, his career. It's more important than that. And that's why.
How do you feel about these NFL, the protests that are going on? What I said was I felt that it was an inappropriate protest, just as if they have a situation where there's some police brutality, there are ways to change the way that the police operate with people, or you can come after that individual police officer. But to burn down areas of a city, to shoot other cops in other parts of the country, or to then disrespect veterans, disrespect the country with these protests, that doesn't accomplish anything other than division. That's the way I feel about it. How do you feel about it?
Totally agree. I think it's ridiculous, actually. I think the whole kneeling for the national anthem is just, it's an insult to them being American. I mean, why, you know, it's the most ridiculous thing. Every hour I hear something else that I just can't get over how much people actually really hate who they are. And
yes,
hate America. And
yes.
Why? You know, and it's interesting because when I left England, there was a lot of things going on there with the whole Islamic issue. And then I noticed a lot of people in England really, in fact, I talked to this one guy who said, I don't care where I'm from. I just happen to be born here. I said, you mean you don't have any sense of pride of being English? And he said, no, why should I? Yeah. And so I decided to move back to America because I just felt like America was our last great hope. And now what's happening here is exactly the same thing. It's like this sort of self-hate that Westerners or even white people have, which is just ridiculous. I mean, who cares what color you are?
You have a couple of individuals, irate individuals, who throw paint on a statue, and it doesn't have to be anything even to do with the Civil War. I mean, it's like they don't even understand even the two different sides of the Civil War. They deface statues of Grant and Lincoln as well as of Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis. But then they go after Christopher Columbus, and then the response of the local politicians is, let's take it down overnight so that we don't have any conflict at all. And it's just a couple of irate Marxists who are out there trying to take down the foundations of our civilization.
I totally agree. I mean, there's a problem in our schools. We're indoctrinating our children.
Yes.
And what's scary also is that a lot of these people are so uneducated. I mean, just take Robert E. Lee, for instance.
Well, hang on a second, and we'll get back to that in just one moment. We've got to take a quick break, and we're talking to Julianne Davis. You can find her at juliannedavis.com or on Twitter at Julianne Davis. I'm David Knight. This is Real News. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Julianne Davis. She's an actress. She's been in a lot of video and film, a lot of television and film. She made the mistake, however, of writing some conservative columns, and then that got her in a situation after coming out as a conservative. She could either continue down that path, or she could apologize and be shamed into political correctness. She chose to continue down that path with the courage of her convictions. So we're going to talk to her some more in just one second. Before we do, real quickly, I'll remind you of some of the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We still have 50% off InfoWars Select Storable Food with the promo code READY. Folks, if you don't realize the importance of having food set aside after these natural disasters that we've seen, the hurricanes that happened, and those were coming for days, all the shelves were emptied out. But also you can have disaster come upon you very suddenly, as we've seen with a couple of earthquakes or whatever. I mean, you can even just hedge this against some kind of a spike in the food supply. We have a very fragile infrastructure here. You don't want to be stuck out without anything to be able to eat because you haven't prepared in advance. So hopefully with these latest events, you've seen the wisdom of preparation for what can happen. You can get 50% off InfoWars Select Storable Food with the promo code READY. We also still have 50% off Caveman, true paleo formula in either chocolate or strawberry. Has things like bee pollen, chaga mushroom, and bone broth. very important nutrients for you, especially if you're on a paleo diet. But these are core nutrients that people have used for a very long time. Many people have for a long time understood the importance of bone broth. Well, you can get that now in a paleo formula, very easy to do rather than making it yourself and a very time-consuming process. We also have all Emmerich's essential packs are now 50% off. We have a new sale, 40% off Secret 12. That's our vitamin B12 formulation. You can take that orally rather than having an injection. And we have 20% off of InfoWars Patriot Blend or Immune Support Blend coffee at checkout when you enter the code WAKEUP. That's 20% off those two flavors of coffee at checkout when you enter the code WAKEUP. Let's go back to our guest, Julianne Davis, and she was just about to talk about the monumental stupidity that we see going on. That's what Lionel called it, monumental stupidity. But it's not just stupid. They have a purpose in this, and you were going to say something about some of the statues just as we're going to break. Julianne, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say about Robert E. Lee. I mean, he said some wonderful things that actually if they took the time to research him as a person, they would see that he was not someone to be vilified. But,
I
think we need to look.
But they want to throw out everything. They don't want to just throw out the bad. Everybody has got, if you look hard enough, you can find something bad in everybody's life. It was Stalin who said, bring me the man, I'll find the crime. That's what these Marxists are doing now. They're going over everybody's life with a fine-tooth comb, find something that they didn't like about him. I mean, even the guy, the Supreme Court Justice, Roger Taney, who had the awful Dred Scott decision that said, you got to return these escaped slaves. Even that guy stood up to Lincoln when he shut down habeas corpus. And the judges that were opposed to him said he did the right thing. That's something that only Congress can declare and so forth and so on. So you can see good and bad in everybody's life. And sometimes, and what we want to do is we want to celebrate when they stand for the good things and criticize them when they do the wrong thing. I mean, that's the key thing. We did that about people now. You know, we criticize Trump when he does the bad thing. When he does the right thing, we give him credit for it. But we don't just demonize everybody, which is what the left is doing because they want to take down the foundations of our society, don't they?
Right. And in fact, that in itself is what makes me conservative because I think it's really important that we maintain our moral and ethical underpinning in our society. And that's one of the things that they want to get rid of. And they want to replace it with science and government. And science is not an absolute truth. Science is a theory based on the inputs that we put into any given experiment.
Science has never settled, is it? You know, we've had history is filled with examples of where they would say this is settled science, and then somebody would come along and say, well, no, actually, you guys had it wrong all along, and here's the new science. You know, we see that throughout the history of science, don't we?
Absolutely. And then the other thing is that because they've turned God into this, or especially Christianity, a laughing stock, that, you know, they in essence killed God. And and now what they want to do is they want to make government the God replacement.
Mm-hmm. And I've called it Godverment. Yeah, I think that's the way they look at it. You know, they want, and that's to me that's the dangerous thing. You know, they get very concerned if they see somebody who has deep religious convictions, but when you look at it as a person who's a Christian, what they're saying to you basically is, I don't think that I'm God. I think that I answer to a higher moral code. And I think what should really be scaring people is somebody who thinks that once they're elected president or in a position of authority, that they are the God of the universe and they don't answer to anybody or anything or any principle or any law. And that's the thing I think that people should be afraid of. But instead, they're afraid of somebody who says, this is the moral code, basically what has been the foundation of our country. This is the moral code I answer to, and I will be, you know, faithful to that code. Then we at least know where that person is coming from.
Exactly. And the other thing that I think a lot of Marxists or progressives don't take into consideration is that power corrupts. I mean, we are human. Humans are fallible. And power will continue to corrupt. So the bigger our government grows, the more corrupt it's going to be. The more power you give it, the more corrupt it's going to get. And that's what a lot of people don't understand because they look to government to sort of guide their whole life to create this utopia.
Yes,
and it's not going to happen. It's impossible given what we are as humans. And
when you came out and you started saying these things, tell us about the cost that you paid in your career, or the cost that you paid in friends, for example, that you'd had for many years.
So it's the cost to my career, I don't know. And in fact, if I was in, you know, heavily ensconced in a network show, or if I was working for a big studio or whatever, I probably wouldn't have come out. I probably would have kept my mouth shut and continued to bite my lip and take my paycheck and, you know, not said anything. I was in a position where a lot of the projects I do and I work on are independent, trying to get my own script off the ground as well. And that's all independent. You know, I might be doing crowdfunding, things like that. And so I felt like, you know what, I can take the hit. It's not like it's going to affect my career. But my close friends, one of my best friends has unfriended me, and a number of other peers, acquaintances, even a guy that I hired on a film that I was working as a casting director last year, even him. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, contacting him, I said, really? I said, you know, I hired you. We've worked together. And yeah, even he. And my best friend. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
But, well, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, in my life, I was always outspoken about politics, so I never really had any close friends that disagreed with that violently. I mean, I didn't unfriend them because I disagreed with them. But you know, as you point out, the left just cannot tolerate a different opinion, and so they will purge anybody that they disagree with. And that's, I think, one of the things that we see at Berkeley. You know, going back to what you said before about science. We had a guy out there who was saying, well, you know, Berkeley, which used to be all about free speech, now they're all about shutting down any speech that they disagree with. And he says, we don't need to hear this stuff. It's like somebody showing up at the physics department with the Flat Earth Society. And we just don't need to tolerate that. It's settled. And it's like, well, why don't you have that? If it's so settled, then why don't you have this this argument with people and convince them in the free marketplace of ideas? You know, it's that's the amazing thing that we see here. But we see it everywhere, and especially when it comes to President Trump. I don't know if you heard it earlier in the program, but I talked about how they completely shut down a charity run for children with cancer and other terminal diseases because it was a triathlon at the Trump Hotel. And even when the guy renamed it, they still shut it down. And he was cowed down into doing nothing about it because they shamed him into shutting down this charitable event for children with cancer.
You know what I think is a really important thing that we as conservatives need to do? And that is, we need to keep our eye on the big picture here, and we need to find various ways to take the power back so that our children do not become more indoctrinated. And we also need to try and reach these people on their level. So in other words, to reach them, because see, most of them deal on an emotional level and they deal in victimology.
Yes.
So we have to take their mindset and kind of get on their wavelength. And then slowly, once we've kind of gotten to the point where they are understanding from their point of view, then start interjecting back in history.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us. Julianne Davis, and you can find her on Twitter, Julianne Davis, also julianedavis.com. She's absolutely right. We have to save our children because it's the educational system where they get them. They don't get all of them, but they get most of them every successive generation. Stay with us. Alex Jones will be coming up. I'm David Knight with Real News.